We're going to consider tonight, as I've already indicated, the subjects we find in the 90th question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And before we turn and to read the passage we'll be considering tonight, let me read the catechism question to you and the answer. How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? Last week we considered how the Spirit of God uses the word to convert us and to sanctify us. And now we hear how we apply the word to ourselves and how we partake of it. That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. May we see this come from the Word and be convicted to partake of the Word as the Lord instructs us. We're going to look this evening at Luke chapter 8. It's going to sort of be our starting place, but we're going to look at Luke 8, verses 9 through 21. In verses 4 through 8, Christ gives the parable of the sower. And then in verse 9, Luke writes, "And when Jesus' disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear.'" They may not understand, I'm sorry. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearers, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit would illuminate the Word, your Word, to our hearts, that we might understand it, and then he might apply it to our heart, writing it on our hearts, that we might grow in grace and grow in faith and grow in a willing desire to seek first the kingdom of Christ and his righteousness in everything that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke 8, Jesus taught about the Word of God and its reception and effect on people's life. And what becomes apparent very quickly is that the Word of God doesn't produce salvation in everyone who hears it. Some people don't even respond to the Word. Other people have some sort of temporary response, like when a child commits to clean her room each day, but very soon loses the resolve to do it. But what Jesus says is that when the Spirit of God works in God's elect people, the Word produces permanent fruit, great fruit of salvation and growth in grace. And we need to understand, though, that although the Holy Spirit is ultimately responsible for applying the Word to us, He uses us as means. He uses our activity of conscionably hearing and receiving the Word of God. In other words, we have a responsibility to receive the Word of God actively so that we might grow through it. So this evening we're going to consider three important ways that we must read and hear the Word of God so that it may produce the saving and the sanctifying effects God has prepared for us in it. And the first truth is that we need to prepare for the Word. We need to prepare for the Word. Look at Luke 8:18. Luke 8:18, Jesus said, "Take care how you hear." Speaking of take care, meaning take care how you hear the Word of God. That Greek word for take care, it has a breadth of meaning. It means to consider. You could say it means to pay attention to or to be aware, or maybe very appropriately here, be on guard. Jesus has just described how important it is that we hear the Word in a productive way. And so we must pay attention, careful attention. We must guard how we read and hear God's Word. Or maybe another way to summarize it is we must prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Growth through the Word, it begins before you ever take up the Bible, before you ever drive to church. You know, we're used to preparing our lives around important things. We plan our whole lives around meals. And when we are diligent to eat healthy food regularly, what happens? We grow healthy. Well, the Word of God is the most important food in our lives, and so we should make that same effort to plan meals of the Word. And the Scriptures do teach us to behave toward the Word this way. In Hebrews 10:25, the Apostle wrote that we must not neglect to meet together. This meeting together in Hebrews 10, it refers to public worship. And why is it so important that we meet together? Well, in public worship, God speaks to us. We hear the preaching of the Word. And we cannot hear the Word preached if we do not attend public worship. And so, therefore, we must be careful to attend worship at every opportunity. In our modern society, we are blessed to have our own copies of God's Word. And so what must we do? We must prepare, we must plan to read and study our Bibles. And the Bereans are a great example of this, aren't they? In Acts 17, Luke wrote that they studied the Scriptures daily. They examined them. He even says they eagerly received the Word of God. David wrote in Psalm 119:97, that he studied the law all the day, just as a king was commanded to do in Deuteronomy 17. We must plan carefully to feed our souls every day. And so this works out in several ways. Fathers and mothers should help their children through daily family devotions or family worship. Your kids can't always read, and maybe they don't have the discipline or the understanding they need. And so we need to help them feed upon the Word daily by leading in family devotions or family worship, reading the Bible to them and explaining what it means, answering their questions. Very practically, daily Bible reading schedules and daily Bible studies, they're a help for us to have a diet of the Word. And in a wonderful way, God has set aside the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, for worship and for preaching of the word. And so we must make use of that day to feed upon the word of God, conscientiously hearing him as he speaks to us in the reading and the preaching of the word. Since the Lord has given us Bibles, we must read them diligently and regularly. We must learn from Solomon, who writes to his son in Proverbs 2:4, and we must seek the word like we would seek silver, and search for it as we would search for hidden treasures. The question is that how you seek the word? Do you wake up longing to read the word as what it really is, the adventure of finding and hearing instructive truth for our souls, being reminded of Christ, being reminded of the gospel, feeding our souls so that we might grow in maturity? Well, this activity, as Christ teaches us here, it takes preparation. We must take care how we hear the word. The second act of preparation, though, is prayer. It's prayer. We are totally helpless without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're helpless to understand God's word unless the Holy Spirit writes it on our hearts. And so what must we do? We must pray for the Spirit's aid before we hear or we read the word. Psalm 119 is a very helpful psalm and passage of Scripture to teach us how not only to think about the word, but how to respond and interact with it. And there David gives us plenty of instruction for how we should pray. And let me just survey this. In verse 18, David prays, "Open my eyes," speaking to Yahweh, our covenant God, the writer of the word. He says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Verse 19 says, "Hide not your commandments from me." Verses 26 and 27 say, "Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts." Over and over again, we find petitions for the Lord's help to know and to understand and to trust in God's word. And those prayers, they apply to our lives today. So we should be quick to pray for the pastor's study. The pastors are gifts from Christ through which the word is preached. So you need to pray for that gift, that minister Christ has given to you. On Saturday, we need to pray for rest and energy so that we might be prepared for the worship service. We should pray for humility so that we might receive the word of God with faith. And we should certainly pray that God would illuminate what we read each day. And then after the sermon, the preaching of the word, the hearing of the word, we should pray that God would apply the word to our hearts. You see, the word doesn't work in us magically. Rather, the word, the Spirit, uses our activity and he works through that. And so he calls us to prepare for the word and to seek it as we would seek silver and search for hidden treasures. Next, consider that we should receive the word with faith and love. Charles Hodge, the great 19th century Reformed and Presbyterian theologian, he preached on the word of God as means of grace and how we should feed and read and hear the word. And he made an important observation when preaching to the Princeton students on the word of God. And he said this: "A man may see a thing without seeing its beauty, but he cannot see its beauty without seeing the thing itself." Likewise, we can see the word of God or we can hear it without finding any value in it. And that happens very regularly. We see it right here, the seed that falls upon the path. But Jesus taught that the good soil hears the word as the word of God and holds it fast in an honest and good heart. There in verse 15 of our passage. In other words, we must receive the word properly. We must receive the word properly. And we must
as we do this, we must receive the word first with faith. And to do this, to receive it with faith, we have to first receive the word as the Thessalonians did, or as Charles Hodge illustrated, received it and see the thing itself. Paul wrote about the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. And here's the important thing, how they received it itself. Not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. Now, I can tell you stories about satellites, and I can tell you stories about space and living in a zero gravity environment in a spaceship somewhere. But if an astronaut spoke to you about these things, wouldn't you pay more attention? Have you ever been to the Natural History Museum where they have an astronaut talking to the kids, and the kids just look at that former astronaut with an intention that we wish that our kids would look at when we are teaching them about things? That astronaut can say the same things that we say, but the kids, as they hear from someone who has actually been in space, they pay closer attention. Well, when you read the word or you hear it preached, do you believe that it is divine? The very divine word of God. It is the word of God. And so we should listen to it as you would listen to Jesus teach you face to face. Because the word of God we have here in the scriptures is as good as sitting with Christ on the hill teaching us face to face. So we must receive the word. Before we receive it by faith, we must receive it as the word of God. And then secondly, we must receive the word believing it to be true. Do you know why so many Israelites died in the wilderness in that journey? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, the apostle tells us, "For good news came to us just as it did to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened." In other words, they didn't believe the promises in God's word as it was proclaimed through the prophet Moses. We must take this to heart. We must believe what we are hearing. We must believe that we are hearing the very word of God when it is preached, and we must believe that it is true. You know, if you listen to the word of God or you read the word of God with a skeptical heart, you won't receive the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith. We must humbly hear God's word like a small child hears her parents. If you see little children, you talk to them or you have them, it's actually frightening that little children believe everything their parents say without question. But you need that is our model for continually hearing the word of God. That's how we should receive God's word. It's the word of God, and therefore we should listen and we should read it to believe it, rather reading it with a skeptical heart and mind. And we must also receive the word of God with love. We must receive it with love. On Thursday, Kelly gave me a piece of pecan pie, and I took it with love. I mean, I love Kelly, and she's nice to me, but I love pecan pie. I'm pretty sure we're going to eat it in heaven with Brunswick stew and a few other things. That's actually not authoritative, by the way. I could be wrong. But I received that pecan pie with love. I loved to take it and set it before me and dig my fork into it and eat it and savor it. The question is, do you take God's word with love? Do you receive it with love? We must love what it says. Listen to how David received the word of God in Psalm 119. In verse 20 he says, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times." In verse 47, "For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love." In verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. In verse 103, he says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Do you love the promise of salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ? You know, ironically, all people don't love the promise of salvation that is by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Love for the gospel is hard because we want the glory of earning eternal life. And we so often show that we don't really love the gospel that is delivered to us through the Word, because we always want to pervert it and add some contribution of ours to our life. But rather, what we must do is we must love to hear the sweet news of God's free grace, His sovereign grace. Do you love to hear and read about the law of God? Sometimes the law of God seems more like broccoli than pecan pie, right? How many of us really want to be reminded that we have to stop doing that which offends the Lord and rebels against Him, yet those things that we love, and start doing what truly glorifies God? You see, we're never going to grow in sanctification unless the holy commands of God for our lives become sweet to our ears, pleasing to our emotions, and moving to our will. But when we love God's Word, we receive it as the Word of God, receive it believing it, and love what God reveals to us, it works in us. The gospel works salvation in us. And the law mortifies and destroys our sin as we receive it with love for God's Word. Well, what must we do after we hear or read God's Word? That's the third way of receiving it, the third way that the Word becomes effectual in our lives. Well, I think we find the answer in verse 15. There Jesus said that we must bear fruit with patient endurance. I know your translation may say, it says, and for that in the good soil, that seed in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Then in verse 21, Jesus said, "My mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." So you see, we must not just prepare for the word. We must not just receive it for what it is and love and see its beauty, but we must also apply the word to our lives. And the first way that we apply the word is that we have to remember it. We have to remember the word of God. It's too uncomfortable to talk about it, how James says, almost that where if you do not remember the word you've heard or read, you're like some guy that looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. It's very important that we remember the word, or it just has no effect in our lives. So after you hear the word, you need to retain what you have learned. And a very practical way to do this is taking notes, especially in our culture where our memories are not trained. We should take notes. And let me just give you kind of a tip on how to take notes. Listen to the main points of the sermon and then write them down for later. Sermon notes should not just be your transcript of what the preacher said, but rather the one preaching hopes that you grasp the points and the illustrations and examples are meant to drive home the main points of truth and application. So write those things down so that you might look at them later. After the service, sit and think about the word you heard for a moment before moving on with the day. And you know, that's one reason we move the announcements in the morning service to the very beginning, so that we might have a moment to stop and reflect upon not only the benediction, but also the word that we have heard. It's helpful to take notes, the notes that you write, and review them later on the Lord's Day. I don't know if you're like me, but that takes a lot of discipline. I often take notes and they go in my Bible and they sit on my desk, and sometimes I'll turn back and read them. But in very fruitful lot parts of my life, I did practice reading those notes all week long. The other thing you can do is read the passage again and think about the points of explanation and application that you wrote down. Talk talk about what you've read and heard. The Lord's Day is a great day to have conversations about the Word of God. And if you're a parent, talk to your kids about the sermon. Talk to them about the classes. Your kids may get pieces of the sermon, but they may not understand it rightly or hear it rightly. They may not know what to do with it. And so parents, we have a great responsibility to talk to our kids about the word that we've heard preached, and to talk to them about what they've heard in their classes, to talk to them about what we read in family devotions. Talk with your family and friends over the meal on the Lord's Day. Share what you learned throughout the week with those around you, with unbelievers, with other Christian friends. We should be like David, who wrote, "I have stored up your word in my heart. I will not forget your word." I don't know exactly how you write things upon your mind specifically, but there are many helpful things that you can learn from experienced saints, from the Word of God, to help you remember what you have heard. But we must understand this truth, that the Word works powerfully when we remember it. And it's not enough just to memorize passages of Scripture. You must also know and understand and remember what they mean and their significance to your life. And the second way of applying the Word is probably obvious. It's practicing the Word. Practicing the Word. That is what Jesus meant by bearing fruit and doing it. Listen, you won't find peace unless you trust what God promises in Christ and the gospel. You're going to be someone consumed with worry and anxiety and fear unless you actually take those promises of God's faithfulness to you in Christ and hold on to them in your soul. That's why the Lord reveals them to us, that we might trust them, we might depend upon them, let go of our own feeble efforts to save ourselves and trust in Christ to do what He's promised. A good example is when you're rappelling on a rope. You're never going to get down that hill. You're never going to actually be delivered from that rope until you actually let go of the rock or the person's hand or the tree that's standing by you and put your weight fully on that rope. In the same way, if you don't practice faith and trust in God's promises, you're not going to find the peace that is offered to us in the gospel. You won't stop sinning unless you obey what God's law commands. This principle seems simple, but it's really quite profound. If you desire to mortify your sin, this is what you need to do. You need to hear the Word of God, just as we've described it, hearing it as the Word, believing it, and loving what it says. You need to receive it with faith and love that way. And then you need to do what the Bible teaches. Granted, it's impossible for us to do it and to obey the Word of God unless the Spirit works, but He works in us by transforming our will. And we must be willing to hear what God commands and do it, just like we must be willing to hear what God proclaims of the gospel and believe it. James wrote, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." So many of our problems occur because we won't trust what the Word of God says, or we won't do what it says. We must prepare for the Word, receive the Word, and apply the Word. And these are the three ways that God uses His Word in our lives. We must never, though, forget that God's Spirit works mightily through the Word of God. But that's part of the story. We must also never forget that he requires that we actually partake of the word. Read it. Come to church and hear it and listen to it. A helpful example is this, or analogy. God provides food to keep us alive. But unless we take of it and eat, we will starve. And in the same way, God also provides the Word of God as our spiritual food. And so we must feed upon it, or we will starve. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please do apply your Word to our hearts. We pray for your Spirit's work in our lives in public worship, but also in our private and family devotions as we read your Word. Cause us to be people of the book. Cause us to be people who read your word and don't find blank pages or empty words, but receive it as the word of God. And receive it with love. Even those hard passages that convict our hearts, cause us to receive them with love. And cause us to practice what your word says in our lives. And most of all, Lord, we pray that you would reveal in your word Jesus Christ, the Savior and Mediator of our salvation, that we might fully receive Him and believe Him and be saved. We ask this all in His name. Amen.